Welcome, and why don't you start just by telling me a little bit about yourself and your family?
My name is, and I've been working as interpreter for U.S. Army since 2006, and I'm still doing this job. I'm married. I have 4 children, 3 girls, 1 boy, and we are 5 brothers and 2 sisters. 2 other of my brothers already, they were work as interpreter for U.S. Army before. My oldest brother, he is chief of intelligence in border police in Kandahar Civilian Airport. My father was full colonel in Afghan Air Force. He is retired right now. We are live in Kandahar province.
Sounds like you come from a military family. Your dad served in the Afghan Air Force. And it sounds like Kandahar is your hometown.
Oh, yes, because I'm born in Kandahar and I grew up here in Kandahar.
And you mentioned 4 children. Could you just tell me their ages?
My oldest daughter, she is almost 7 years old. And another, she is 6 years old. My son is 4 years old. And my younger daughter, she is almost 1.5 years old right now.
So 4 very young children, and are some of them in school now? And if so, where are they going to school?
Both of my daughter, they are with their grandparents in Kabul, and they are going to private school. They are at the primary school right now.
Let's talk about your work. First, prior to working as a translator and interpreter, what did you do in Afghanistan prior to 2006?
As I graduated from Pharmacology University in Kabul, I've been working as a pharmacist in one of the non-governmental NGOs in Kandahar, which is Afghan Health and Development Services. I've been working as a pharmacist in Shawalikot District Mother Child Health Center from 2003 until 2004. After that, I have started working as an interpreter for KBR company in Kandahar Airfield. But since 2006, I work as an interpreter with U.S. Army till present.
So you're a university graduate.
Oh, yes, sir.
Here in Afghanistan, yeah. Probably one of a very small percentage. And you were employed, was it a well-paying job, decent job?
That was actually a good job when I worked as a pharmacist, clinics, especially in Kandahar province, just helping to the people. That was actually a cool job.
When and how did you get involved in doing translation work for the U.S. military?
Because before of me, 2 another of my brothers, they also were work as interpreters with U.S. Army. Our family live inside the Green Zone area in Kandahar since 2004, and our family was in here. So I was work as a pharmacist because from one side, I selected to work as interpreters from the economic situation. So I joined to work as interpreters, and from other side, I will be able to services to the people of Afghanistan by the working as interpreters for U.S. Army.
So your brothers joined first, and then you joined after them?
Yes, sir.
When you joined as an interpreter for the United States Army, what were your expectations and what were your hopes?
I joined as an interpreter for U.S. Army from September 2006. And I started this job actually from Kandahar Airfield. My aim and my expectation was if I work as interpreter for U.S. Army or other coalition forces in Kandahar or southern region of Afghanistan, that I will help the people of Afghanistan and I will help with Afghan National Army or Afghan National Police, which is coalition forces or U.S. Army, or give them a training. So I will be able to help in services for Afghan National Army, Afghan National Police, or the government of Afghanistan by the job which I'm doing as a translator or interpretation.
That must have been a difficult decision, knowing the risks involved in serving the U.S. military. The Washington Post reported that since 2007, at least 80 interpreters have been killed in combat. And I know that some of your personal acquaintances have been killed and your own brother has been wounded. Can you talk a little bit about those risks and what motivated you to take those risks?
My brother, when he was working as an interpreter for U.S. Army, he got shot on his leg in 2005 on a mission. And my cousin, he was at the foot patrol with U.S. Army. I mean, mine blast on him, and he died on a mission. There are many kind of risks for Afghan interpreters, especially the interpreters in southern region of Afghanistan. Many interpreters followed by Taliban, and they have been shot, or Taliban blew up their cars, blew up their buses. The interpreters have been followed by Taliban and given a treat. I have also received phone calls from Taliban as I work here in the radio stations. Taliban call me and they actually treat me. They know that you're working in the radio station because they already listened to my voice. They said, if you're not leaving this job, if we catch you, we will kill you. Like my face is in my family faces with this kind of risk, especially in Kandahar province.
Well, was there ever a time in your service to the U.S. military when you just thought, you know, enough is enough. This is too dangerous. I want to go back to my job in pharmacy. Mm-hmm. Did that ever cross your mind?
Because I've been working for a long time as interpreters, I'm scared if I leave this job because many people, they listen my voice through this radio station. When I was working as interpreters in CG9 CIMIC, Civil Military Cooperation in HQRC South, on 2007, 8, 9. So I've been participated in Kandahar governmental meetings in Kandahar Governor Palace. So I've been shown by TV. A lot of my friends or another people, they saw me in TV. Many times my friend gave me a call and said, hey, we saw you at the TV, it's not good for you, it's dangerous. I'm scared if I leave this job because I've been working as interpreter for the last 6 years for U.S. Army. My face will be with a high risk, so I mean, I'm very worried about this. I cannot leave this job.
And what's your biggest fear?
As I know, which is I have received phone calls or phone treats from Taliban, I never feel myself that I'm a free man. When I go sometime to Kandahar City for shopping or I take my family for health treatment, I cover my face, which is nobody gonna saw me or they not gonna recognize me, because I've been a couple of times with U.S. Army at Kandahar City for patrols, for different missions, so a lot of people saw me. This is actually the biggest risk or biggest threat for me, which is I never feel myself free, like as a free man to going to the city or doing a shopping without any problems.
And you're also a husband and a father of four children. Are your children safe? Is your wife safe?
I never feel safe, especially here in Kandahar province, my family and my children. Because many times when I travel from Kandahar to Kabul, I took a bus. It is a very dangerous trip by bus from one province to another province. When I came here in Jowin, and I go back home, many times I did not feel that, which is I'm going back safe to homes. Because, you know, many interpreters have been shot, they have been following by Taliban, and they have been shot and dead. So it's very dangerous.
Well, so far we've been talking about the risks that are just part of your job as an interpreter for the U.S. military. Has the U.S. military offered any kind of personal protection to you or to your family while you're carrying out this dangerous work?
U.S. Army actually did not provide any personal protection for me or for my family. But when I was working with them, when I was in mission with them, of course they were protecting me in missions because they know that the interpreters are very important for us. But beside of my job, when I came from home to my work and going back to home, there is no any kind of protections.
You work inside of Kandahar Airfield, and you are in a very secure environment, encountering secret, if not top secret, information. Could you tell us about the kind of background checks that you've gone through over the years to be trusted with the kind of position that you hold now?
I've been working here. I'm in the system of biometric system in Kandahar Airfield since February 2005. I'm a Green Badge Trusted Agent. So the different intelligence in here in CAF or the RANCO company, which is responsible for the screening of the local interpreter or local employee in Kandahar Airfield, they're doing a screening each every 6 months. Beside of that, sometimes some different department of the intelligence, they are coming and screening us. I can say more than two or three times in a year, we doing a screening. They're doing our screening or sometimes polygraph. I did this kind of screening many times for the last 6 years, and I pass all this kind of screening. I don't have any problem for this.
And biometrics, you mentioned, is a new technology that involves, among other things, a scan of your eyes.
Yeah, they are scan our eyes, and they have all my fingerprints.
So it's very comprehensive.
Oh, yeah.
Your work for the U.S. military over the past 6 years has really been well recognized. Yesterday, you showed me a whole stack of certificates, letters of endorsement from as high a rank as a general to colonels. It's a very impressive collection. Can you talk about some of the recognition that you have received for your service?
I have received a lot of certificate and recommendation letters from different generals. I have a certificate from Major General James Teary. He was a HQ RC South Commander. And I have received it from Major General Jacob Page. He was also in HQRC South Commander, and General Mark Lizard. General John W. Nicholson, he was signed my immigration paper. I have a certificate from Colonel Petrinzu. He was commander of the 24th Expeditionary Marine. Because I talked to the people of my village, I will bring the 24th Expeditionary Marine in my village and train them. So the people was agree with me, and I took that teams, they were more than 12 MVs, and I trained them 3 days in my village. Also, I did a translation for Task Force Letronic. When I was working as interpreter for Civil Military Cooperation in HQRC South, I have received many documents from Task Force Letronic in Helmand, and I did a translation for them. I have also received certificate from U.S. Marine Task Force Letronic and 24 Expeditionary Marines. I have also a lot of another certificate and recommendation letter from different section of U.S. Army.
Tariq, you've lived in Afghanistan your entire life. Your family is from Kandahar, and you're doing some incredible work here as an interpreter. At what point did you decide to apply for an immigration visa to the United States?
The United States actually established the special immigration visa for Afghan interpreters on 2006. When I was working as interpreters, so in each section there was some interpreters and they were interested to apply for such process. I was also one of those interpreters, which is I was supported U.S. Army in Kandahar in southern region of Afghanistan. So when security day by day get worse and there was a lot of threat and risk for me, so I was also interested to apply for special immigration to the United States with my family.
What motivated that decision of applying? You've talked about your hopes for the future of your children. Could you say a little more about that?
You know that I've been working here since 2006, almost 6 years as an interpreter for U.S. Army. There are a lot of risks for me. I took a decision if I apply for a special immigration visa and I go to the United States with my family, I will find a good or bright future for my children. And I have a 3 girls, which is, you guys know, that there are increases of violence against the women of Afghanistan. So I had a decision to go to the United States and provide it a good education for my children, especially for my daughter.
And that application process began for you what year?
In 2008.
In 2008. And could you talk about your experience with this immigration process over the past 4 years?
I've been applying for a special immigration process in 2008. When I get approved letter from General John W. Nicholson, he signed my paperwork, and I send it to USCIS, Department of Homeland Security. I have received approved notice from Homeland Security Department, which is my case was approved, and they shipped to the National Visa Center. National Visa Center scheduled me for visa appointment in U.S. Embassy in Islamabad on 14 October 2010. Then at the U.S. Embassy in Pakistan on October 2010, I did a medical checkup. I went by bus with my family to Pakistan.
So you got on a bus here in Kandahar?
Yeah, from Kandahar through Kabul and to Jalalabad and Peshawar.
And at that time, did you have 3 children or 4 children?
I had 3 children.
You had 3 children, and they were how old? That would have been...
I've been like 5, 4, and like 2 years.
Okay, so you went with your 3 young children, your wife, on a bus trip to Islamabad, Pakistan. How long was that bus trip?
We took a bus from Kandahar to Kabul. That took almost 8 hours, and I stayed 2 days in Kabul. In my relative house. After that, I leave Kabul to Islamabad. That trip took almost 9 or 10 hours. And I was carrying all that the U.S. military original document with me because the embassy said, please bring all the stuff with your IDs. I have the HQ RC South badge with me and a different, another badge, which is I had it. So I was carrying all those documents with me to the embassy.
And what kind of risks did you face making that trip?
I mean, I was very scared when I start trip from Kandahar to Kabul. Many times the Taliban, they are black the roads and they are searching the buses. If they become suspected to some person, they are searching everything properly. They are searching their phones. If they see any the foreign names on a phones, they give a call. Or they give a call for somebody else. Who is this guy? Do you know where this guy is working? My face was with the trip when I trip from Kandahar to Kabul. I was very scared because I was carrying all original U.S. Army document with me. If especially something happened on the way, or Taliban black the road, or they have a report about me, I will finish with all my family.
I don't understand why you took that kind of risk. Why didn't you just deal with this through email and phone calls?
U.S. Embassy in Islamabad, they told me you have to bring all the original the document with you. And you have to prepare. I mean, if you have a picture with U.S. Army, please bring it that. And there was 3 or 4 kind of forms for the migration visa. They said, please bring the original one. I took it, my passport, my Afghan ID, which is they call Tuskira. The 3 or 4 kind of immigration forms, and I went to Islamabad. I showed to the U.S. consular during my appointment date.
So they needed the original documents, but they also needed you there in person.
Oh, yeah, because they want to make sure to know, like, this is the original guys, which is he applied for this immigration process. They saw all the immigration paper, the certificates, Tuskegee passport, and my marriage certificate.
Could you have made this trip by yourself, or did you need to go with your children and your wife?
I have to go with my children and with my wife. There was no chance because the U.S. Embassy in Islamabad, Pakistan, said you have to bring the result of your whole family, the result of medical checkup. And you guys have appeared on during the appointment. We want to see your family, your wife and children.
So what happened?
After the visa appointment, the U.S. consular from Islamabad embassy said, your case is pending for administrative process. He gave me a letter. He said, just drop it, this letter with your passport in U.S. embassy in Kabul, and they will send your passport by mail. As soon as your administrative process is completed, we will pass the visa and we send the passport back to Kabul embassy.
Sounds very hopeful.
Yeah, but I was waiting for a long time for this process, and I was in contact with U.S. Embassy in every 6 months. Their response was always that your case is pending for administrative process.
Pending for administrative process.
Oh, yes. And on 2011, my another daughter, she born, and I have a contact with U.S. Embassy in Pakistan. First, they did not respond to my email. After that, when I sent a lot of email, they responded and said, okay, please send that all those paperwork for the new baby, which is born. I sent all the documentation, and I have received email from U.S. Embassy, and they scheduled me for second visa appointment on 18th of April, 2012.
Your first trip to Islamabad was in 2010?
October 2010.
Okay, and then you had a fourth child, and they asked your whole family to return to Islamabad?
Yeah, to return in Islamabad, and they said your medical checkup is expired. You have to renew that your medical checkup and appear with all your family. I went second trip to Islamabad by bus. I did a medical checkup in a private clinic, and I paid the fees of that. And I went to the U.S. Embassy in Islamabad for second time. The consular said that you are at the second visa appointment letter I have received. They said you are eligible for immigration visa process. After the visa appointment, they said your case is still pending for administrative process. So as soon as your administrative process completed, we will contact you right away. We cannot do anything. It's a decision of the State Department visa section. So I've been waiting after second interview a long time, and I have been received email from U.S. Embassy in Pakistan on May 2012, and they said if you are interested to transfer your case to Kabul Embassy. And I sent email on September 2012, I mean three times email, but they did not respond to my email. And after that, I've called to them. 2nd of October 2012, the immigration visa section of U.S. Embassy is working on your case to transfer to Kabul, and we will keep you updated.
And that was in September?
In September, yes.
And you'd recently, just last week, received a rather discouraging email from the U.S. Embassy in Pakistan. Can you talk about that email?
When I received email on 2nd of October from U.S. Embassy in Islamabad, they said that the immigration visa will work for your case to transfer, but we will keep you updated. I did not receive any other emails, and I have sent email on December to U.S. Embassy in Islamabad and said, give me update from my case transferring process from Islamabad to Kabul. And I have received email on 12th of December, which is, they said, your case is closed in U.S. Embassy in Islamabad because of the section of 212A3B, which is, my case is rejected and denied by the decision of State Department. And I was very angry that day. That was actually a terrible message when I saw that. And I was really upset that day because working for 6 years as interpreter for U.S. Army and did a sacrifice for the support of U.S. Army and U.S. government in Afghanistan, it's actually rejected. I don't know why. What's the reason?
You mentioned a section that was referenced. Do you know anything about that section? What's the basis for your rejection?
Yeah, I searched it. I went to the USCIS website. I found that section is for those people who are involving with the terrorists. When I saw that, I was, confused. What's going on? I've been working for 6 years as interpreter for U.S. Army. How that they gonna call me that you're linked with terrorists? If I'm linked with the terrorists, why that I'm still working for U.S. Army? Why that every 6 months the intelligence, they are screening me and they give me the background checks? Why that the Department of Homeland Security, they approved my case? These are different things. I don't know why. Why it's happened to me.
And how did your wife react to the news?
When I go to the home on that day, when I enter, my wife, when she saw to me and she said, hey, what's happened? You are not the same situation like other day when you're coming normal. I told her all the story about it, my immigration stuff. She was also angry. She was upset. She was crying for this thing, why it's happened to us. You was working for a long time for U.S. Army. What's your sign? Is it your sign that you're working as interpreters? It's very amazing news for us. We never expected to State Department actually calling me or bring my case in this section because everything is clear. My question is, if they are claiming that my case is on that section, so I want a proof for that. They're going to show me. I'm clear everything here in Kandahar Airfield. I have a bunch of background checks or everything.
4 years have passed. A lot of time. Also, a lot of money spent. How much have you invested in this process?
I can tell you for sure more than $20,000 have been spent for this process from the beginning. I mean, on 2008, which is I started this process.
Okay, on top of that, all the anxiety.
The travel expenses, mm-hmm. medical checkup, visa mm-hmm. fees. I mean, staying at the hotels, especially in Islamabad for a week. I can tell you more than $20,000.
And you also gave up other opportunities with the hope that a visa would be awarded to you from the United States. Other countries, Canada?
When I was working in HQRC, South Sudan was, on that time, different coalition forces at the HQRC South. And I had also connected with the Canadian forces because they send it, if they have some translation, I did help with them. I translated. So there was actually a chance for me to apply for Canadian immigration process. Many of my friends said, Tariq, please come and apply. I said no, because I already applied for U.S. immigration process. That would not be a good idea if apply for both immigration process. So my case is approved by Department of Homeland Security, and I did a visa appointment. The thing is, my case is pending for administrative process. Probably it's going to finish next month or next year, so I will get the visa for sure. I didn't know, which is they deny, State Department deny my case. Otherwise, I was interested to apply for Canadian immigration process. I mean, I lost everything.
The Washington Post reported on October 25th about the Afghan Allies Protection Act of 2009, which allocated 7,500 visas for Afghans like you employed by the U.S. government. The Post also reported that of the more than 5,700 Afghans who have applied, just 32 have been approved. Can you just say a few things about what you know about this Afghan Allies Protection Act and how you found out about it?
I also didn't know about this news. When this news published by Washington Post, my boss, Stephen Mintz, actually sent me in my email and said, Mohammed, I have a bad news for you because of the Afghan Allies Protecting Act. And I didn't know about this law before. And I saw this actually on, I think, on the October of 2012, this year. And before of that, I didn't know anything about Afghan Allies Protecting Act.
So for most of the past 4 years, while you've been engaged in this process of getting a visa, you had no idea that there was a special act that had allocated 7,500 visas for people just like you.
No, I didn't know about that. When I contact any time to U.S. Embassy in Islamabad, they said your case is pending for administrative process in the State Department. They never tell me, or I never saw this news and never heard that. So when the Washington Post released this news, I saw that.
Considering all of your service to the U.S. military over the past 6 years, the kind of risks you've taken, and the kind of investment, personal investment, emotional investment, financial investment in this immigration process, what would you like to say to the people who made this decision regarding your visa application?
I want to kindly request from those people who took a decision about my visa application. I mean, if they're going to reopen that my case and things deeply once again, because I am clear there is nothing wrong with my case, they will reopen it once again and think a little bit if it's possible to contact with all those people, which is I have received certificate and recommendation letter from them. I'm sure, those people, they're going to confirm and will contact to the visa section and they're going to approve me. So I'm approved by Department of Homeland Security. I'm still working as interpreter for U.S. Army. Once again, they're going to reopen and work on my case. I hope this time they will make a good decision.
So you still have hope. You're still committed to going forward and becoming an American.
Oh yes, sir. I have hope, and my family still have a hope, because we did a great job as interpreter for U.S. Army. I didn't see anything wrong with my case, and especially with me, and why I lost that my hope. So I kindly and respectfully request once again to reopen my case and work once again. And I'm sure they will prove that my visa.
I just want to thank you for your service to our military and for your time and this story you've shared with us. I certainly hope that justice can be done in your application and that the greatest hopes that you hold with your wife and your four children can be realized.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm happy to work as an interpreter for U.S. Army, and I will continue this job, so I don't have any problems. Thank you from the international community, from U.S. Army, to help and support Afghan government. And they are right now also, they are trying to equip the Afghan national security forces. We receive it, Afghan people receive it, a lot of things by help of international community, especially by help and support of the United States government in Afghanistan. So thanks and appreciate it from everything that the U.S. government or U.S. Army did here in Afghanistan and they are still doing, and really appreciate it for their great help and support.